we're nearing the conclusion of our trip through the Bible that we began almost 3 years ago with the Gospel Project. And I'll be honest, I'm saddened that as we have gone through the pages of Scripture, there has been much that we haven't seen. There have been a lot of places that I would have loved to have stopped and taken in what God is doing in this grand story of Scripture. But at the same time, I know that we have touched on a lot of important topics. We have seen some great overarching themes, and I hope that as we have been doing this for the last 3 years, that you have been able to see how the Bible is one grand story from creation and sin at the beginning to a movement of God to the cross for the purposes of salvation, and moving away from the cross to the forgiveness of sins and soon recreation. I have to admit that one of the things that has disappointed me is that we have only made one brief stop in the pastoral letters that Paul wrote. And at the same time, I'm looking excitedly at looking into the book of Jude in a couple of weeks, because Jude is a quirky little book that often just gets overlooked. In other words, it's difficult. And, I've never taken the time to preach out of Jude. So I'm looking forward to that. This weekend, we were supposed to spend our final week in the book of Acts. Yet, as I was reading through the last three chapters of the book of Acts several times, trying to decide exactly where I was going to land and what passage of Scripture I was going to use, as I was looking at the accounts of Paul and his preaching of the gospel, and it soon became apparent to me that it wasn't really the end of the book of Acts that I wanted to turn to. As I began to read and as I studied, I was looking at Luke's account of Paul and the different stops he made from Jerusalem in the temple to Rome and waiting trial. And in the end, I decided that it wasn't necessarily any one of those accounts in the book of Acts that needed my attention, that really needed our attention. Rather, I want us to turn this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And, over the last few months, I've been putting the words up on the screen and at the same time encouraging you to bring your Bible. And I got to thinking that sometimes I need to do what I'm asking you to do. And so I'm going to try this morning to keep up with reading from my Bible and adjusting the screens to keep up with what I'm reading, or advancing the screens. But you see, I think that what Paul writes to his protege, Timothy, at the end of the book of 2 Timothy is important, because it takes what Luke shows us about the Apostle Paul and it translates it into what Paul is saying about himself. Now, I'm going to actually start from Acts chapter 28. And if you really want to turn there, you can. I'm going to try to read from my Bible, like I said, but the words will still be on the screen. So if you don't think you've got enough time to go from Acts back to 2 Timothy, this is what Paul writes. He says, "And he stayed there 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered. So Luke tells us that about Paul. Now, 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, and this is what he says there. Beginning in the first verse, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Yeah, I'm totally lost here. That didn't work. Actually, I think maybe what didn't work is my typing. What? I'm sorry. I can't type. Anyway, 2 Timothy, back to chapter 4, verse 6. He says, but I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. I totally apologize for those of you who are trying to follow on the screen for my confusion. But this morning, if you want to remember one thing, if you want to write down one thing and say, this is what I need to hear, it's this. It doesn't matter your age or your circumstances. We are to take every opportunity we are given to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I turn to Timothy because we see this in two parts in Paul's message. First, Paul's message to Timothy, and second, Paul's autobiographical note. And I stuck with Acts because Acts shows us that Paul was living out what he called Timothy to do, and what he says autobiographically fits with what Luke had to say about Paul. Pardon me. The corn is pollinating, and I am feeling it. Paul writes to Timothy, he's writing this letter directed to Timothy, who he has instructed, who he has brought up, probably the way the scriptures read, has brought up some in faith, but he has brought up as a mentor and a mentee in ministry. He joined Paul very early, and he stayed with Paul to the end, except for those times when Paul sent him elsewhere to magnify the ministry that Paul was doing. And Paul understands that his life is nearing the end of its course. He realizes that he has shown Timothy everything that he will likely ever get to show him. Maybe even told him personally everything he will get to tell him. And Paul says, there's some more things that I need to tell Timothy. And so he pens this letter. And he begins to just tell Timothy about the ministry that he is supposed to undertake. And I would say to us, what Paul is writing to Timothy is what Paul is writing and what Paul would be saying and what the Spirit will be saying to each one of us. And it begins with hold on to the truth. Hold on to the truth. Paul writes, he says to Timothy, he says, I know that you have heard and you have understood and you know what the truth is. Now, for us today, we have never heard the words of Paul. Timothy, probably by the time that Paul is writing this, has spent 10 or 15 years on the road with Paul, on and off at different times. He's spent this time with Paul learning what the truth of the gospel is, learning what the truth of life with Jesus Christ means. We may not have the Apostle Paul walking among us, but we have the words of Scripture. We have the words of the prophets, the apostles. We have the words of Jesus. We have the instructions from God on what it means to live a life with Him. And we know what the gospel is. We know the message that Jesus Christ came, lived among us. He lived a perfect life, died on a Roman cross under the authority of Pontius Pilate and at the prompting of the Jewish high court. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose on the third day, and 40 days later, he ascended into heaven where he now sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on our behalf. We've heard that story. That's the theme that's been running through the whole Bible, is that sin happened and God was preparing a way to deal with sin. And he dealt with our sins on the cross of Calvary. We've heard the story. We know the gospel. We've heard the scriptures. And many times I think we don't know them enough. No matter how much we study, we can still learn more. But we know what the scriptures say. What is right and what is wrong. What is true and what is false. We know what the scriptures say. And Paul is writing Timothy to encourage him to hold on to the truth because not everyone is going to accept the truth. That's a story of Scripture. That's the story of life that we all know and we all understand. It began in the Garden of Eden when Satan asked Eve, "Did God really say? Did God really say, Eve, that you can't eat from that fruit? Are you sure about that?" And the world around us is asking the same question. Oh, surely, God didn't say that, did He? God didn't mean that. God didn't want that. But we have to hold on to the truth because, well, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says in chapter 11 that some things in this world look good and we shouldn't be surprised because Satan acts as an angel of light. He isn't, but he acts like one. He makes sin look good. He makes sin look acceptable. He makes sin look like something other than sin. And he gets us to call sin something besides sin. Oh, and Peter, the Apostle Peter, says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that Satan is a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so Paul, knowing these things, Paul knowing that Timothy needs to know what the truth is, he would look to us today and say, you know the truth. Hold on to the truth. Do not be swayed. Because the second thing that Paul tells Timothy is that he is to pass that truth on. It's not just enough for us to know and understand the truth. Our responsibility, our task is the same as Timothy. And that is if we know the truth, we're to preach and to teach the truth. We're to take the truth and we are to pass it on to those who need to know. And he says to Timothy, he says, be ready. Be prepared. Be ready in season and out of season. You know what, as a minister, I say it this way. I always take a sermon with me whenever I go anywhere, because you never know when you're going to be asked to step up to the plate. I used to always, when I carried my Bible and went places, always have one of my sermons stuck in the back that I could preach pretty well anywhere. But it isn't just that. It is being ready to share the gospel sometimes when you expect to. There are times when we as people, we know that we're going to be in contact with people who need to hear the truth. And we can be prepared to share the truth. There are other times when the questions will be raised, when things will be asked and things will be said, when we get the opportunity to stand up and to share the truth. And Paul says that we are to be ready in season and out of season to share the truth of Christ. And if we simply look at Paul's ministry, we see that there were times when Paul expected that he would get to share the message. And he went to places where he expected to be able to share the message. But there were other times when Paul would be thrown into prison for this or that or the other, and Paul got the unexpected opportunities. And you know what? He took every one of them that we know of. A Philippian jail, the steps of the temple, leaving the temple to the fortress that the Romans built, just overlooking the temple, preaching and talking to Roman centurions, talking to Roman leaders of different regions of the Roman Empire, and possibly even to Nero himself. Paul took every opportunity to preach the gospel and to tell the truth. And he was sharing it even when it was unacceptable. Even at times when people wouldn't listen and people thought they knew better than what God says in His Word, Paul continued to teach the Word, and Paul looked at Timothy and he said, you have to be ready. Even if people don't want to listen, even if people are simply looking for somebody to tell them what they want to hear. In other words, to tell them that their sin is all right and God doesn't care. Kind of sounds like our culture today, doesn't it? And Paul says to Timothy, he says, you have to be willing to endure to the end. You have to be willing to endure to the end, no matter what it costs. Endure to the end. What Paul has encouraged Timothy is what we also see in the life of the Apostle Paul himself. And if we look at Timothy, we see that he is simply doing what Luke says he was doing in Acts. Acts says that he was staying in his own quarters, welcoming everybody who would come and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says to Timothy, he says, this is the current state of affairs. Verse 6, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul says, currently I understand, I know that my life is about to come to an end. We don't know exactly when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, but there is a good possibility he wrote it in a second imprisonment in Rome, waiting to stand trial before Nero a second time, and understanding from the current state of affairs that when he did, his life was probably going to end. And so Paul could look and he could say that I am already being poured out as a drink offering. We don't do drink offerings here. We don't. But Paul knew that the audience he was writing to understood a drink offering. And they were to bring, when they came to the temple, they were to bring their sacrifice, whatever that particular animal was. They were to bring a portion of grain And they were to bring a portion of wine. And they would sacrifice the animal according to the type of sacrifice. They would burn a portion of the grain with the offering. And then they would pour out that juice until it was all gone. And Paul says, I'm being poured out. And he says, not just being poured out, but it's about to drain to the end. The last drops are about to come out of the pitcher. There isn't much left of my life, Timothy, but I have lived it well. Because then he moves to his past state of affairs. In verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight. I have run the course. And I have finished the course. Paul is using this illustration of a runner that people understood then and even today. If you happen to watch any of the long races, you know that there is a course that's set out. In Paul's day, just as in today, the games that they would have around the Roman Empire, the different games that they would have, one of those would be a long distance race. You know, today it's the marathon. And in a few weeks, if you turn on your TV, you can watch at least a part of the marathon from the Tokyo Olympics, the 2020 Olympics that COVID has made happen in 2021. But you can watch the marathon. And the marathon will have a set course, and the runners will know what that course is. And Paul says to Timothy, I've told you about the course. You've heard about the course. You know where you're supposed to run. He says, and I have run my race, staying on that course, and I'm about to the finish line. Paul preached, Paul lived, and Paul remained faithful despite hardship. Paul preached the gospel every opportunity he got. Whether it was accepted or not, Paul preached the gospel. And Paul lived out the life that he was called to live. Paul is one of those type A driven personalities. He was driven to persecute the church, and when Jesus met him and called him to follow him, Paul became the same kind of driven man, and he lived what he preached. He lived what he preached, and to the point where he can say he was stoned on multiple occasions. He was whipped. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked multiple times. And that all took place before his trip to Rome. That all happened probably very shortly after Luke begins to record the life of Acts, because he writes many of those things to the church at Galatia very early in his ministry. But he remained faithful despite those hardships, and even used the hardships as an opportunity to preach the gospel. And finally, Paul says that there is laid up for him a crown. He's looking at the present, he looks at the past, and then in verse 8, he says, in the future there is laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Paul is looking forward to what is to come. Paul looked at the past and he says, this is how I've lived. He looks at the present and said, I'm almost done. And he says, and I'm waiting, I'm longing for, I'm looking forward to the day when I will receive my crown of righteousness. He's longing for what God has promised, and he is trusting that God will deliver what he has said. In the book of Romans, Paul writes this to the Romans. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? This comes from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. He says, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, I am looking forward to and longing for and know that there is nothing that anyone else can do to separate me from the love of God and the promise that He has made to us. But he adds this little bit at the end of chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. And you look at what Paul writes through this letter to Timothy, and he says this. He says, it remains there if we stay pure. If we faithfully endure to the end. And Paul says, I am staying faithful. I am holding on and I am longing and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ or my own death. Paul wasn't asking us to do something he has never done. Paul was looking at Timothy and Paul would look at us and say, these are the things that you need to do and these are the things that I did. Many of us this morning are not as young as Timothy. Timothy was probably in his mid-20s or maybe into his mid-30s by the time Paul is writing to him. Many of us are probably feeling much older, maybe like the Apostle Paul. And maybe even some of us are looking at our own life and saying, you know what? I've run my race and it is nearly over. But what Paul says to Timothy and what Luke records in the book of Acts is that Paul never quit. You see, Luke can say at the end of Acts, at the end of the story of what he's told about the Holy Spirit working through the church and specifically working through the Apostle Paul, he comes to the end of what he has to say and he says this about Paul. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. With all openness and unhindered. The Apostle Paul, to the very end, was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at every opportunity he had and living the life just the same. And either way, whether we feel like Timothy, we're young, and life is before us and opportunities remain, or whether we're like the Apostle Paul and we are reaching the end of the course, we are called the same as Paul when he writes his instructions to his protege Timothy, to live faithfully, to hold on unwaveringly to the truth, and to share the gospel at every opportunity. That's our call. Those are our instructions from the Apostle Paul and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. as we sing this next hymn, but as we remember what it is we were called to do.